What a classic film Charlie Brown Christmas is, and such a delight to go back and watch that recently. And it's 25 minutes. You can find it on Apple TV. But I actually learned while preparing this sermon a bunch of different historical facts about a Charlie Brown Christmas movie. I just want to go ahead and share a few of these, and then we'll pray and jump into the word here today. I didn't know this, but the movie actually came out in December of 1965. December of 1965. Was anybody around during that time? All right, come on now. Right? Shout out to all of the 65ers in the room here today. Love you. You know, it's one of the most watched and iconic family films of all time. But most don't know that the movie almost never actually aired. In 1965, in the months leading up to the Christmas season, December, CBS had decided alongside with Coca-Cola to come out with a classic special for the Christmas season. And so they had been advertising and marketing this CBS Christmas special that was going to come out, and they had hired Charles Schulz and his team to come out with this special clip. They began in a last-minute fashion putting this together, and Charles Schulz had some convictions that he said, in order for me to do this, there's some things that I want to do my way. Number one, he wanted to have all local children from the neighborhood do the voiceovers for the parts. So the people that are communicating in Charlie Brown Christmas are not paid professionals. They are majority just kids from around the area that he selected to be the voices. Another thing that made this film a little bit unique and risky were there was no laugh track throughout the entirety of it, especially in this time. To do a comedy special or a family special without a laugh track would have been distinct and a bit of a risk. And Charles Schulz had this conviction when it came to comedy that if it's true comedy, you should never have to tell people when to laugh. He had another conviction that he thought was very important, and that was to put jazz music throughout this special. And what kid doesn't love jazz music? I know that's a little strange. Finally, he had a thought that he said, if we can't do this, we can't do the movie. And that is that he was adamant that the Bible would be read in the retelling of the true Christmas story. And that was the last straw, where the producers and directors there at the show said, we don't think this is a good idea. Even in 1965, I think some would maybe think, hey, America's drifting away from Christian principles. America's been drifting away from Christian principles. Even in the 60s, they were already going in a different direction. And in fact, 9% of all Christmas shows in the 60s would have had some type of religious contribution. In other words, it wasn't a lot. So to insert an actual scripture, a long chunk throughout the Bible, was definitely a risk and something that was not looked upon as a good thing. And Charles Schulz said, well, if you want me to do it, we're going to have kids from the neighborhood, we're going to have jazz music, and we're going to have the Bible. And they said, well, it's such a last minute, we've already been advertising it, let's just do it, it'll be a disaster, but at least we can do it. Turns out after they showed it, it was the biggest hit on TV during that time. The producers at CBS would come back and later state how much of a big deal this show became. In fact, it would run for the next few decades every Christmas and throughout the seasons. It became the number two most watched Christmas film of that year, and it was still iconic till this day. In fact, the producer came on record with this quote by saying, that one scene where that 10-year-old reads the scripture was as good as any scene from Hamlet. Remarkable. And so I thought it would be helpful for us today to glance back at the Charlie Brown Christmas special and maybe ask the question, what made it so special? And how can we go from the cinema into the scriptures and be reminded of the true Christmas story, similar to how they did in the movie? So if you're ready, say ready. If you're hungry, say, let's eat. Let's eat. Well, Father, we have came to eat from your word. So Holy Spirit, right now in this place, quiet our hearts, calm our minds, give us the grace of concentration, and speak to us. Just pray that prayer. If you're online, if you're in the room right now, just pray that prayer. Lord, speak to me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So when it comes to the Charlie Brown Christmas movie, it begins with this classic scene. I'll put the image up here on the screen. This is Charlie Brown and his good friend, Linus. Linus has his security blanket with him. He's a good pal. He's always got Charlie's back as they're walking around through the town. It's Christmas time, as we were just singing, and Charlie opens up with this phrase that is quite sad. Here's what he says. He says, I think there must be something wrong with me, Linus. Christmas is coming, but I'm not happy. I don't feel the way I'm supposed to feel, he continues. I just don't understand Christmas, I guess. I mean, I like getting presents and sending Christmas cards and decorating trees and all that, but I'm still not happy. I always end up feeling depressed. So here we have young Charlie, and he's pondering, as you can see, as he is talking to his buddy Linus there in the snow, and he uses this phrase, I just end up feeling depressed. I want to preach a message today from this subject titled, may feel a little bit heavy, but I've really felt that it would be helpful today to lean into this topic just a bit. The title is Combating Depression at Christmas. Combating Depression at Christmas. If you feel led to clap, you can. If you want to just kind of consider that for a minute, I think that there's more people struggling with depression than maybe realize it, or maybe there's others that could really relate to Charlie Brown, would say, you know, this Christmas season, I'm looking for happiness, but it just hasn't came yet. Or maybe there's just a cloud of sadness that seems to follow you, and you want it, you're happy for others, but you're trying to look for it yourself. This is where Charlie Brown was at as the movie kicks off. He says, the word always stuck out to me. I always end up feeling depressed. And I don't know if there's people watching or in the room that have a clinical diagnosis of depression, which is a real thing, or maybe it's just a sense of grieving that comes upon you, or just you feel like for whatever reason in this season, darkness seems near. I just want to encourage you through the real Christmas story found throughout the scriptures that God is coming for you, that God is drawing near to you, that God wants to change your circumstance and he wants to bring some light into your life. In fact, one of the words that follows the Christmas story is the word joy. And I believe that there's some things that you can do to combat depression this Christmas season, that my prayer would be that it would lead to a little more joy. Amen? Number one, first thing that you can do, you can combat depression this Christmas season through sharing. Through sharing. In other words, talk about it. There's something that happens in the beginning scenes of the Charlie Brown Christmas movie where he doesn't just share this impression and feeling with his friend Linus, although I think that was important. I think he had to get that off of his chest. He had to share what was on his heart. I think one thing that makes this movie so special is the transparency. Is the candidacy of Charlie Brown to actually share authentically, not surfaceably, how he really feels. And what does Linus say back to him? He says, Charlie, that's the most Charlie Brownist thing to say on Christmas, to feel that way, but he is being honest. I think there's power in talking about how you feel. In fact, in the Christmas story, you find Mary, who's given this good news, but at the same time, this startling, life-changing news that she's going to give birth to the Savior. Many scholars believe Mary was roughly in between the age of 14 and 16 years old. So she was part of the youth ministry. And God selected her to bring forth the Messiah. And by faith, she says, let it be done to me. She was open to God interrupting her plans and chose his way over hers. What a great decision that we can learn from with Mary. But what does she do? Well, she learns that her relative Elizabeth is also pregnant with a baby boy who would become John the Baptist. And what Mary does is she travels a long distance to go find Elizabeth, and Elizabeth's baby, John the Baptist, even leaps in her womb when she sees Mary. There's this instant connection, and I think they needed to talk about what happened. Friend, I just want to encourage you. If you're an introvert, challenge yourself to talk about how you feel. If you're an extrovert, think about really how do you feel and get to some of the meaningful depth that's in your heart. One of the ways to combat depression is to combat isolation. Move from isolation to communication. And there's something powerful about that. Here's Charlie Brown. He decides to go talk about it. Where does he go? Well, he goes to therapy. We can find him in this photo. He winds up at Lucy's doctor's office here. She's charging a whole nickel for him to share how he feels and get some advice. The doctor is in. And she shows up and she cuts him off. She says, hey, before you share, I need that nickel. He drops it and she goes, oh, I love the sound of the change just falling in the cup. Now, what did you need again, right? And he begins to share. I just don't feel happy. I feel depression that is on me in this Christmas season. What's wrong with me? And in Lucy fashion, she begins to kind of a know-it-all, right? She begins to say, I think I know what you have. And she lists about 5 or 6 different types of fear. Fear of the ocean, fear of the weather, fear of everything. And finally, Charlie Brown kind of cuts her off and screams and says, wait, stop. That's not it. And they begin to talk about it. And I think that's the first point that I want you to consider. I know it's not easy to talk about how you really feel, but sometimes we say this in a convicting way. Let's not just have our church face on. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about? What's your church face? Hey, how's it going? It's going great. Going great. I was just having World War II in my car, but it's going great. You know? Yeah, everything's great, but you really could be in a season of darkness. That God created us for community, the one another's that we share. And I just want to encourage you to consider not talking to everybody, but talking to somebody if you're feeling a similar way this Christmas season. One of the things that he catches from this moment with Lucy is she goes, I think I got it. I think I know what you need. She goes, you need involvement. Involvement. I think there's a good point there that she mentions. One way that you can combat depression in this Christmas season is through involvement. And I label that as taking a risk. I'm praying, and I'm not going to apologize for it, but I'm praying that God would do something in your life this week that requires you to have faith, that requires you to maybe even live a little risky, to maybe even do something that's out of your comfort zone, that makes you get off of your comfortable couch, put away the comfortable food, and get a little uncomfortable for the sake of Jesus, and get involved. I don't know what type of involvement that could be, but maybe it's in 2025, maybe it's next year, next month, maybe it's today. You know, I got a message from a friend of ours here at Walk Church this past week. She was attending last Sunday's service. And my final point in the message was, Christmas is all about reconciliation. We looked at the Home Alone movie where Kevin reconciles with his mom and old man Marley reconciles with his son-in-law, right? And it's this powerful moment where God wants to reconcile with his children through sending his son Jesus, the ministry and message of reconciliation. But I love what our friend said, shared with Nina, and I said, hey, you know what? I heard that message. I felt the Holy Spirit prompt me to reach out to somebody in my life for the purpose of reconciliation. And I did it. I went for it. I sent the text message. And then I finally got a response. And the person said, I'm willing to finally meet up. And she was saying, I'm so excited. I got an opportunity now. It's risky, but I'm willing to take the risk. Amen? I just think if we respond to the Holy Spirit's promptings with whatever he's encouraging and sharing for you to do, I think you should consider getting involved. Lucy says, I know what you can get involved with. We're doing a Christmas play, similar to how we just did this week. And we want Charlie to be the director. And here's Charlie Brown right here. Come on, he's got his leadership cape on. He's ready to direct. He's getting everybody disciplined. The problem is the rest of the team are like, this is going to be the worst Christmas play ever. It's Charlie Brown leading us, right? He's trying to invoke some confidence in him. But what I love about Charlie is he was open to the challenge. This would be very unlike him to do, but he said, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to take a risk. Would you just tell the person next to you, just give him a little nudge and say, this Christmas. Let's try it again. Everybody say, this Christmas. Take the risk. Come on. Take the risk. Online, put it in the chat. This Christmas. Take the risk and go to it by faith. You know what I've found when I'm willing to take the risk? I'm praying more. I need a word more. Yeah. I'm seeking counsel more. Hey, I'm going to do this. Pray for me. Pray. Hey, I'm waking up early. Lord, I might even fast. I'm willing to take the risk. I need God to do it. And guess what? He does it. 1 Thessalonians 4, faithful is he who has called you, and surely he will do it. Take the risk. Point number 3, combat depression this Christmas through remembering the true meaning of Christmas. What happens next in the movie, I think, is kind of fascinating, right? Charlie begins directing the play, and he's not getting too far. All the kids are dancing while they're playing the doom, 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 doom. It's just this little wave, and all of them are going crazy. Come on, I know you wanted to do that. And finally, Charlie gets this revelation. What does he say? We need a Christmas tree. And they say, yeah, go find one of those Christmas trees. Go get one of those metal ones. Go get one of those aluminum Christmas trees. In fact, get a nice, pretty pink one. And so what happens is Charlie and Linus, they go on a search to find the right Christmas tree. Here's where they end up. They see these flashing lights in the air. They end up in the aluminum Christmas tree lot. Now, doing some study, I realized back in the 1960s and into the 70s, the aluminum Christmas tree was a thing. Does anybody remember that? It was actually a popular trend. It was trending on social media, which didn't exist back then, but it was trending on people's living rooms. In fact, check out a picture of some of these in real time. This is what the trees look like. This is what people look like. That's some legit hairstyling right there. It was actually dangerous to put lights on these trees, so they would have like little glow things that would shine on the trees to try to not have such. And at some point, they realized this is a bad idea. We should just get regular trees. And that's part of what inspired this movie scene. And Charles Schulz is very intentional with what he's trying to depict in this movie. They go out to this tree lot, and Charlie Brown and Linus are walking through and saying, these aren't real Christmas trees. They're tapping the metal, and they're saying, is there any actual wooden trees anymore? And finally, Charlie Brown finds this tree. We'll show you a picture of it. It's this simple tree. It's only got a few little greenery leaves on it. It's just a few branches. And Charlie Brown is ecstatic. There it is. In fact, he says, this is the tree. This is the tree that we're going to use for the play. In fact, I think this tree needs me. He found purpose even in identifying this tree. And although there was a bunch of shiny aluminum objects that were bigger, some would say better, some would say louder, Charlie was moved to grab the little, more insignificant, lesser than tree that nobody was looking at. Everybody walked past this thing. What good could come from this tree? This would be the one that would become the star of the show. I think Schulz is trying to communicate something to us here today. In fact, Charlie Brown had just walked by Snoopy, who was decorating his doghouse, and he goes, even my dog went commercial. And then he sees his little sister, and his little sister says, Charlie, can you write my Christmas list out? And he goes, sure, what do you want? And she goes, well, I want everything I have coming to me. right? She has this little wittiness about her. He talks to Lucy, and Lucy says, I feel depressed on Christmas too because I never get what I want. And Charlie says, well, what do you want? And she goes, real estate. And Charlie goes, everybody's gone commercial. And he's trying to get back to the heart of Christmas. And I think that Schultz is trying to use comedy and animation to try to speak to the people that, you know what? What if the thing you needed this year wasn't the big, shiny, sparkly thing? What if it was something that was a little bit, would seem insignificant, seem not the star of the show? Maybe it would lead you to think back to the original Christmas story where you would find a baby in a manger, in an inn that nobody would ever go to, in a place in Bethlehem that nobody would ever think of. And that God would be using this little baby to save the world. While Herod was in his mansion, Christ was in his manger. Come on, amen? That God would be selecting this little infant to do it. I saw a meme this week that made me chuckle. It showed a little baby in a manger scene, and it said the first ever king-size bed. Come on, right? Right, as everybody, we got no room in this inn. We got no room in here. Finally, they give him a little place in a barn around some hay and animals, and that would be where the Savior of the world comes. Who do the angels choose to reveal the message to? The shepherds. Some of the lowliest of workers in that place, keeping watch of the field by night. God would choose the insignificant, smaller things to bring forth the biggest things. And that is a picture, a metaphorical look onto what Jesus would do for us. This Christmas, one of the ways to combat depression is by maybe saying, you know what, all of these other things, not that they're bad, they're just not the main thing. The main thing is Christ. Putting the Christ back in Christmas, amen? That's the main thing that I believe was trying to be communicated, more than the artificial, more than the materialistic, more than the real estate, more than the all that's coming to you, would be Jesus coming to you in the form of a baby, born of a virgin, coming to save you. And that's how much God loves you. So today, if you sense his prompting in your life, respond. Take the risk. Give him your yes. Go all in and trust him to do what only he could do by his Spirit for his glory, through his blood, putting our faith in Jesus. Amen. They get to the Christmas play moment. Charlie is directing. He pulls out the tree. Everybody scoffs at the tree. They say, this is the one, Charlie. This is the one you found. They start speaking some insulting words over him, and then they begin dancing again. And Charlie has this moment where he makes this statement. Does anybody know? Is there anybody who knows the true, real Christmas story? Let's watch it.
Isn't there anyone who knows what Christmas is all about?
Sure, Charlie Brown. I can tell you what Christmas is all about. Lights, please. And there were in the same country shepherds, abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them. And the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. That's what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown.
Amen. What a moment. Well, young Linus communicates the Christmas story in his clarity and opens up to Luke chapter 2. It's memorized in his heart, just like those little kids who just sang, and begins to speak the actual scriptures. I put this still up on the screen because the only known moment where Linus chooses to separate from that security blanket is while he's reading. If you go back and watch it, he says, and the angels showed up and they were sore afraid. I love that. The King James Version, sore afraid. It's an actual word. It means they were so afraid they were sore. It's like they were working out. They got sore because they were so scared. I don't know if you've ever, maybe you're afraid of something in this season. It's making you sore. It's making you feel some type of way. But then Linus says, and then the angel said, fear not. And you notice he drops his blanket. Schultz is trying to communicate that Jesus coming into our lives is the one who even removes the greatest fears, the greatest things that we're holding on to, the things that we can't let go of. What if I let go? Even Jesus can enter into your life and be even greater than the thing that we're looking for our greatest comfort. That it would be him. And he communicates the beautiful Christmas story in such a profound way. Let's look at it one more time. Luke chapter 2. Let's look at verses 10 through 12. The angel said to them, fear not. Such a good word. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy. How can you combat depression this Christmas season? Oh, remember the good news that God is for you, not against you. That God loves you, not because of what you do for him, but because of what Jesus has done for you. God loves you. That's good news. That brings great joy. That lifts our hearts. That will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Is he a big, tall, strong hero? Listen, friends, this is a sign for you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. This is the reason for the season. After Linus presents this powerful reading of Luke chapter 2, everybody just stands there, amazed at the scriptures. And what happens next as we close is Charlie Brown grabs his little baby tree and walks out. And he just begins walking through the snow. And he decides, you know what, I'm going to decorate this little tree. And he puts one ornament on and it falls and slumps over. But notice that the rest of the crew come over and surround him and they begin to decorate the tree for him. There's this beautiful display of community. Even Linus takes his blankie and he begins wrapping it around the bottom of the tree, trying to hold it up. And I think Schultz is trying to get at this moment. You know what? The real reason for Christmas is worshiping King Jesus, a right relationship with God through the Son, and doing it with the people you love most. Amen? That is Christmas. The movie ends as the children all break out into singing. That leads me to my final point. Combat depression this Christmas season through singing. Singing the songs of Christmas. Listen, more than Jingle Bell Rock or more than whatever one you want to insert into that famous Christmas playlist, sing the real songs of Christmas that point to Jesus. The movie ends with all of those little kids singing Hark the Herald Angels Sing as the credits roll onto the screen. And I love the lyrics of the song, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King, amen. Peace on earth, mercy mild, God and sinners, reconciliation is the goal. Joyful all ye nations rise. Join the triumph of the skies. With angelic hosts proclaim, Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark. In other words, perk up. Hark. Listen up. The herald angels sing, glory to the newborn King. And that's one way. In this season, you can make your heart glad again. It's just by allowing yourself to sing. Make a joyful noise. It doesn't mean that you have to be a perfect singer. Charlie and the team weren't, but they just started to let it ring. And we want to encourage you. Let's join in with the Charlie Brown singers there. And let's go ahead and take a moment now. And let's respond and let's sing forth, Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Amen. I'm going to pray and then let's do that. Father, I thank you for this time together today. God, I thank you for being with us. I thank you for being for us. And God, I thank you that this movie could even point us to the real reason for the season. It's you, Jesus. And God, I know that there might be somebody watching this or in this room right now that can just feel the weight on them, the heaviness, depression is lurking or it's just present and it's not moving. God, I want to pray for that person right now. God, would you lift their spirits today? Would you walk patiently with them? Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest, you say. And with all heads bowed and all eyes closed, if there's one person in here that's ready to respond to Jesus with faith and give him your yes, give him your all, I want to invite you to do that right now. Just by faith, you can call upon his name, and all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. If you're ready to get saved by putting your faith in Jesus, by receiving him as your Lord and Savior, would you just lift your hand right now? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Just lift your hand. Just identify. It's risky. I know it may be risky. Several hands up. You're not alone. Pray this prayer with me right now by faith. Just say, Father, I believe in you. I believe you died. I believe you sent your son Jesus to die for my sins. And I believe that he rose from the grave. And by faith, I receive him now as my Lord and Savior, the King of my life. I repent of my sins. I repent of my transgressions and my shortcomings, my failures. And I thank you for your grace that covers me. And right now I believe. And I'm ready to follow you. So fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.